Time now for the Frickin' Frack of Nick and Nack, Tim, Luke, and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys. You'll find them at tqag.com, and you'll also find them here on Robinhood Radio on a Tuesday morning. Not necessarily in the same place at the same time, but maybe let's roll the dice and see if everybody's in the same place this time.
No, we're not.
No, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm on the riverfront in Wilmington, Delaware.
I think that's great. And you know why I think that's great, Greg?
Why?
Because the picture, the painting, Washington Crossing the Delaware, is up for sale. And I like the headline. Washington Crossing the Delaware is up for sale. No, not that one.
Right, right.
It's a smaller version of it, but it's great that you're in Delaware. There you go.
Yes, yes. I'm here to I'm going to look at the river later.
Well, I guess Christie's is looking to sell it for about $15 million. It's a small one. It's a smaller one.
Right, right. A lesser size.
We got three. Yes. Well, 3.5 by 5.5 as compared to 21 feet.
Correct, correct. It's more diminutive, let's say. Yeah. But still significant, still significant. And I did see that article that you mentioned, Marshall, when it said, oh, no, not that one. And I thought, oh, my God, that's so great. Talk about just getting your attention. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I first saw it, and so I said, this can't be true. And then all of a sudden I say, oh, okay, thank God. Things can't be this bad in this country where we're selling Washington Crossing the Delaware.
Right, right. But, you know, when I looked at that, I was thinking that it was one of the parody paintings that they've done. And I had to look close. I'm like, wait, who is that? Is that like, you know, with Nancy Pelosi in the boat and some other people? it's just there's a couple parody paintings that are similar to that that have been done. So I had to look close.
Well, anyways, it's a fun story to look at and talk about.
Yes, a good piece of Americana. And I think that it's one of those, especially the size itself, this is something that just because a larger canvas, there's the misconception that larger canvases are worth far more than smaller canvases. And it really depends on, there's so many other factors that go into determining value of the subject matter, the medium that is used, the time period, the artist, the provenance. It's all of those factors play in. And it's not just size is one of those, but not the determining in a lot of cases. So,
you know, it's funny because I once was taking a tour around somebody's apartment in New York City. I won't mention who, but they were an art dealer, and I was very careful. And in the bedroom, I said, wow, that's a cute little picture over there. And it couldn't have been more than, I'll say, 1.5 feet, 2 feet by 3 feet. And I forget who it was, but he told me who it was. So I said, oh, what's that worth? And he said, oh, about $12 million. And I said, what? What?
Yes,
I said, yes. And I knew I'd seen the picture in magazines and stuff, but it looked so much, you'd never know that it was that small.
Correct.
Like, I think most people, aren't most people amazed when they see the Mona Lisa?
Oh, yeah. I actually have that story. I was so excited because, you know, all of my life, and it's just like everyone else, the height of the Mona Lisa being the most famous painting ever painted. So we get in line at the Louvre, and this was before you could literally go up and touch it. I mean, before all the security. We're walking into the gallery in this line, and the anticipation is like killing me. And I'm looking around, and there it was just by itself. And I thought, what?
Huh.
Is that all there is, as Peggy Lee would say? But, you know, it was so much smaller in real life. And but there again, as far as value goes, I mean, I don't know if just for an insurance value, they might put a value on it. But it's literally one of those pieces that are completely priceless. So But yeah, size doesn't really have a whole lot to do with it in art. I mean, it can be valuable and be, you know, like postage stamp size. Although I will say it's interesting because there are times if you're doing an appraisal where you have to sometimes for looking for values, you find out who the artist is and how much they're selling per square inch. Tim, that was an interesting thing you were working on. I'm not sure where it's at this point, but we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago about art by the square inch and how it's valued.
Well, yeah, I mean, and on some websites they will calculate that, but that's just a piece of data, and what you do with that data, it's just a consideration, but it shouldn't be the end all be all. So
no,
it's
no.
In looking at that, because that can be, it's very misleading. So that's part of, you know, the whole thing.
But it's fun to see. You have like a trying to find out the square inch of the value of a painting. It's actually, there is a calculation that you do, but it's interesting just to see how much a Warhol is per inch or how for a certain thing.
Yeah, but it's not a good indication because, again, it goes back to my opening statement, is that it depends on the medium. It depends on the subject matter. It depends on, there's so many other things. So, yeah, so bottom line.
It
really doesn't matter.
Well, to continue on in the amazing age that we're in, Christie's, I'm sure you've seen this article. They are sending a hologram of a $20 million Degas ballerina on a world tour. Why? Because they want to avoid the cost and complex things and the danger of shipping things. And it looks kind of cool. It almost looks like a refrigerator. And if you look at it, damn, it looks like you're looking right at the statue.
Well, the holograms that I'm just wondering if they're going to at some point auction off a hologram as well. But yeah, they do look real. It's kind of amazing. And this particular sculpture is recognizable, so people will know what it looks like. But the fact that they're actually going to do this as an exhibition, that I think it's kind of cool, because if you, I hate to go back and use Disney, but if you ever go into the haunted house there, you swear to God they're standing right in front of you.
Well, the interesting thing about this, it's a great way to put it. It's a great way to publicize, because it is going up for auction, and they hope to get between $20 and $30 million for it. And if there's a way to publicize it, is to put these things on a tour all across the country. I think it's a brilliant idea.
I do too. I wonder if they would, if I was bidding, if I would request to have the hologram along with it. That in itself, I think, could be a piece of pop art.
I think with the amount of money that you're going to spend, if you're going to spend $30 million on that statue, you can have your own hologram of it. keep it locked away and just have the hologram at your house. I mean, really, if you're going to spend that much money.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree. Go ahead, Greg.
No, I was going to say that that was if you did have it, then you could easily take it with you wherever you went when you're traveling. You could, you know, in your hotel room, you could have this statue and decorate your room. And the possibilities are endless.
Well, right, but so let's take that the next step further. The company that has put this all together, they've been working on this technology, and that device just has to be in a conference room, and you could actually be in they project your image to that conference room. So what makes this different is that it's an actual 3D image as opposed to just a flat screen.
Yeah.
And it also is an opportunity, and it goes back to what you were saying, Greg, is the NFT of this. It's the non-fungible token of this is a way to display it. So And I think we've talked about this, and I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of what they are. However, we all know what NFTs are. They're out there. They're digital files. How do you watch that, or how do you view that, is going to really dictate how the whole market, I believe, really matures around it and how it goes up. Last week, while I was in Cleveland, I did go to the Rock and Roll, Hall of Fame, and it was the museum there, and they had a little section, and it was Jerry Garcia's original Apple computer that he was doing his drawings and doodles on, and they had screens that were able to display these digital files or NFTs. And that's when I said, this is how, this is where the future is going, is that in order to really build excitement around these things, is that you have to see them. And I think that this was a flat, because it was just a flat file. But with this whole technology that Christie's has partnered with, this allows them for very less liability and risk of damage to the actual property to be able to send it around the world. And they just send that refrigerator size box. And it's interesting when you look at the photograph, it's life size. I mean, it isn't just like a representation of the piece. This piece is on a pedestal and it's raised up and there's a woman standing next to it. And you can actually see, you know, all around it. And it gives it's very clear, but you would swear that there's something in there, but you know, it's a hologram.
I know.
Well, I see the future of this going to actual full-blown exhibits of the great works of art. And I think it could really be a great way to get people into exhibitions, because if you look at, for example, the Picasso or the Van Gogh, the traveling exhibition, that's similar. But imagine being able to see a 3D version of some of the greatest works of art that have ever been, that you can't get to. Some of them are they're available for everyone to see, but if you can't get there, and I think this would really be kind of the beginning of the future that could really be good for art museums. So that's another, I think this is just the story. This is just scratching the surface of what this could be. And I don't think they realized they were scratching the surface about what the future of this is going to be just by putting this article together. So I think it's really fascinating.
And not only for stuff, but also, you know, you could actually be in a meeting and it would be interesting to see how the technology would then change so that you can actually see people in the room. So,
we could be in the same room while you're traveling.
Right. Well, the hologram of me.
The hologram of you,
yeah.
Please, there's enough. One is enough. I don't need more.
Now, you know.
I'm not touching that one.
I know you're not. You're very good. Thank you, honey. Thank you, husband.
Okay, it's time once again to break the barriers of common sense and talk about non-fungible tokens.
He went there.
There's a story that has two parts to it. First of all, Tom Brady, he purchased a Bored Ape Yacht Club NFT, paid over $430,000 for it. All right? He bought it at $430,000, and that's in dollars. But it doesn't surprise me because he formed an NFT startup now, Brady.
Of course he did.
He sells his autographs via NFT, and there's going to be other things as well. But I know all these really smart people and these really hip people are in this. I just, for the life of me, cannot wrap my arms around it. I want to, but I just can't.
I hear you, buddy. I am in the same boat because I cannot understand why anybody would pay so much to have something that they can't actually touch. I don't get it.
It's, you know, it just,
it's hard for me to wrap my head around.
It's not like, you know, people that invest in Bitcoin are just really successful people that act like people who invest in penny stocks. It's, you know, I don't necessarily understand the ins and outs of it, but if you buy penny stocks and all of a sudden you have a $100 investment that turns into $10,000 over a couple of years, terrific. If you buy a Bitcoin and you make money or lose money, terrific. But it's just that you're not really getting anything for the money. Kinda. That's the thing that gets to me about it.
Yeah. Marshall, I have to admit, not only do I not understand it, but I'm not sure I really want to, because
I do want to. I consider myself a halfway intelligent human being, but I just don't get the non-fungible token. It's kind of like when I was in high school, it took me 2 years to get through geometry. Not because I was a bad student and every other thing, I got 80s. I just didn't get it.
I got algebra, I was calculus, that was fine. Geometry, it's the spatial, I just... Pythagorism's theory. I'm like, what are all these theories?
There's certain things I'm just never going to get.
Right.
And that's the same here with the NFT. NFT, I just, I actually would be able to understand it if somebody could put something concrete in front of me and explain it and the process. But it has to be something I just cannot wrap my head around. Valuating something that is in thin air. I just can't. I just don't understand it.
Well, we'll go from one thing I don't understand it, and we'll go off on the crooked end of the weird end. The world's leading purveyor of tiki decor is going out of business, and they're going to have an auction. Props, mugs, all kinds of knickknacks. Tiki art.
Oh God!
Aren't you glad you're not auctioning that off, guys?
Yes. I bet they have coconut bras too.
I like the way the story starts. Do you own a dive bar or a novelty restaurant or run a business organizing bachelorette parties? Here's your chance to make things a whole lot funkier.
Oh my God! Well. You got to give the copywriter credit.
I mean, I've seen the tiki statues. They're amazing, those things. But the tiki art, I don't know what they're going to get out of this, but I just thought...
Tiki's a little tacky. I mean, it can be. It's one of those things that, I mean, it has to be done well. But, you know, there when I would travel and do the auctions for Julian's, I mean, we would stay at the Beverly Hills Hilton, and they had the tiki restaurant there, you know, and that was always fun, but that also had a lot of history that goes back to it. This is, I mean, how old is this, you know, the bamboo stuff that they're using? Yeah. How old could it possibly be? So, interesting.
Yeah, tiki art.
Tiki.
Well, you know, tiki. Normally when you go into a restaurant that features tiki or anything like that, there's so much of it in there. It almost makes you a little sick, what I mean. So, and there obviously is some beautiful tiki art around, but I mean, that's sculpture, you know, that's the actual, the real stuff, not stuff that's made to fill up a restaurant and then go out for auction. I just don't get it.
The thing about tiki, is that down here right now, for some reason over the past couple of years, people are building tiki huts in their backyard for bars. Surgeons. And it's kind of an explosion. And people say, oh, you know, we're going to build a tiki hut around our tiki bar around our pool. So it's like trying to buy something from Cracker Barrel. You go, you know, it's the same thing. It's a theme. So, I mean, it's very popular. And I think I want to check it out just to see, because that looks like it's going to be fun to watch.
You see,
very, very kitschy.
I have problems with people that put pergolas up because they're beautiful and they allow, you know, plants to grow on them, but they don't, they say, well, the pergola, we'll put up the pergola for shade. You don't get shade from a pergola. maybe in 20 years when it's covered with plants, yeah.
Right, with the vines.
Yeah, but I don't know if as a person who always lived in a house that had a porch or a deck, I don't know if I want a tiki bar behind my house, that's all.
No. It's the whole theme thing. Last night, we got in a little late, but there was a fish restaurant. We went in, and it was like there were fish hanging everywhere, you know, like the big marlins and the big, you know, the whole, you know, Greg, we've seen them down in Florida, you know, the swordfish.
Oh my God,
it's
like you see them all over the place.
I think it's the same fish. They were huge, and they had grouper, and they had all of these, you know, they're kind of the plaster fish. Yeah. It was like being in a stagnant aquarium. I mean, looking up, and it was this huge warehouse and all of these fish. It's that same kind of thing. It's these theme restaurants, and you know, you see these things, and the tikis kind of go along with the same.
It's funny that you mentioned that.
Interesting.
When I was growing up in Ardennes, my dad was a fisherman. And he caught a marlin. I think it was about an 8 or 10 foot marlin, and that marlin was always hanging on the wall over a couch. I would never sit under that. I just found it really sad that a marlin that was swimming in the waters off of Florida wound up as a piece of art hanging in a house in Sharon, Connecticut. You know, it was just one of those weird things.
No, I understand that. My grandfather was a fisherman as well, and he would do, it was the, especially living right near Lake Erie, and it was the walleye, all of the fish, whatever he was fishing, and he would have the heads mounted. And so I remember as a kid just seeing these, you know, these mounts and just thinking, oh, good Lord. No.
They sell at auction. People do collect them. They actually sometimes, depending on the species, they can actually sell for a lot more than you would think. But the market's pretty, it's not so great. But they're down here all over the place. And it's not just something that you know just down here in Florida. They seem to be popular there again in tiki bars. So you know, I hope this company does well, and I'm gonna find the website, because I want to see what they're actually selling, so that could be. I love scratch and dent sales.
All right, well, once again, Tim Luke and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys at tqag.com. guys, thanks for joining us again this morning.
Have a great week.
Take care, Marshall.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Once again, you can find them at tqag.com, Treasure Quest Appraisal Group, and also at robinhoodradio.com. click on demand, click on appraise this.